sowing. Matthew 13:3 talks about the parable of the sower. And I was originally thinking about Judas doing something for this, but I kept getting led to this, and I'll caution you on something that I've learned, and you would think that I've learned it and it would be easy to apply, but it's not. And it's very simple. I've read the parable of the sower, and I'm sure that you have too. Matthew 13, you know, talking about the seed, how it fell. And then once you read it, a lot of times when you are taking the time and you're opening Scripture and you're thinking, well, what can I read today? And just as the day is controlled by God, a lot of times we'll just open the Bible somewhere and just read a little bit. And if we open it to the parable of the sower, a lot of times we might just move on because we've already read the parable of the sower. We think we know what God is talking about, right? And He even tells us, after He says the parable of the sower, He gives us the meaning of the parable of the sower. And so we really think that we got this under control. So we just kind of, we might move on. But I caution you that every time that you read, understand that God's Word has a great depth. And there's a lot of things that He can show you. And it's been my experience that when we're going through different things in life, as we don't just go to the beginning of the book and look for where it says in Psalms, if you're feeling sad, read this verse, those kind of things. But as the Word of God continually is a part of our life, that we spend time in it daily, that we move on, and as things happen in our life, those Scriptures become real to us. In other words, God speaks to us through those Scriptures in our time of need, because we're not just looking for Him because, oh, we're sad today, so I'm looking for encouragement for God. But we're reading all the time. And if we were to happen across the parable of the sower, He gives us the parable, tells us what it means. Don't think that He can't show you more depth, okay? Then He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. You ever wonder why Jesus spoke in parables? Well, He tells you why. He said, to us it has been given to understand the kingdom of heaven, to them it is not. And so, how do we understand the kingdom of heaven? It's the Holy Spirit that's in us that takes these words and tells us what Jesus is speaking of. We read the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit illuminates our minds to be able to see and understand spiritual things. That's what He's talking about. He said it's been given to us, but not to them. Everybody that reads the Word of God doesn't always understand it in a way that you do, because you have the Holy Spirit of God. He refers to that as casting His pearls before swine. Okay? So, He talks about this, a parable of a sower going out to sow. And in those days and times, there was a lot of agriculture fishing. These people didn't go to grocery stores like we do to buy our fish and our food and our grain and our... I mean, grain, what do we buy grain for? We already buy the bread that's already been made. But He spoke to them in a language that they could understand. But how many of us look at this parable and wonder what kind of heart we have? When you're reading this parable, do you think He's talking about hearts? He's talking about what happens when the Word of God comes upon our heart. I wonder what kind of heart I have. Right? Is that how you look at the parable? Or are you looking at the parable, and I can tell you probably from the beginning, I'm looking at the parable just trying to understand the concept of what He's talking about. And the concept of what He's talking about is there's different hearts that you can have when the Word of God hits it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, see, that's kind of surface, right? If you read it, it's just kind of surface. Anybody could read that and understand that this person received it this way, this person received it that way. But God is asking you, what kind of heart do you have when the Word of God comes to your hearing, right? What kind of heart do you have? I don't know if we asked that question. I don't think that I asked that question. But I tell you what, as I understood the general concept and I read through it, then I found what kind of heart I thought I had, right? When we read this for the first time, did we understand what Jesus was trying to teach us? the heart is not a one-time, not a one-time choice. Do you understand? How many of us have had great expectations of something and they've fallen short? How many of us have loved someone and that has failed? How many of us has been happy about something and then found out later that it was kind of a curse, right? See, the heart changes, doesn't it? A little. Just a little. And it changes daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. You don't get to choose when you wake up this morning that you want to feel different than you did before you went to bed. Things happen in your life that makes changes, right, to your heart. So when Jesus is talking about these parables of these hearts, I would say that possibly the first time that we started looking at the hearts as opposed to looking at the overall picture of what he was trying to show us, we would think, well, which heart do we have? And we would think, if we have that heart, then that's the heart we have. Correct? That's what he's showing us. He's showing us these different hearts, and we're saying, wonder which one. He says, be careful. Matthew 13:8, he says, therefore hear the parable of the sower. So if we weren't really clear what Jesus was trying to teach us when we read this parable for the first, second, or third time, we can go down and we can hear the parable of the sower explained. So a lot of times as we read through the parable of the sower, we understand this one is this, this one is this, this one is this. And so we just, in our minds, just kind of skip over the fact that God thought this was important enough to put in His book that had limited space, limited pages, limited words. And we just kind of skip over it thinking we already know what kind of heart we have. So the first time that we read this, He gives us the answer of the parable of the sower. And thank God that He does this occasionally, so we can have some sort of concept about how different the Word of God, I mean the mind of God is versus the mind of man. So when we get the answer to the parable of the sower, if we didn't understand it first, we read it for the first time, we're like, oh, okay, now I know. Now I know what He's talking about. So I'm sitting here reading the Word of God. What kind of heart do I have? But do we really know what He's trying to show us here? You see, did we immediately classify ourselves as the one seeking to establish deep roots because we were studying and seeking the truth? You see, when we open it up and it talks about the sower, about the person that heard the word, rejected, all this kind of stuff, if you were asking what kind of heart you had, you would think, okay, well, what I'm doing is I'm seeking to establish deep roots. So certainly, this is my heart. I'm the heart that has the deep roots, that when I heard it, I applied it to my life. Isn't it common to think once we see the truth that we somehow always knew the truth? Do you understand what I'm trying to tell you? See, it's like when we read about the hearts, about the falling on wayward side and all this, and the ones that fell in the heart to produce deep roots, and we see that and we're like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense. And you kind of click it in your mind, and you don't go back, and you think that this is the way it's you've always thought, and then you turn around with the heart, you look at it, and you think, wow, this is my heart. So you don't pay attention to the other ones. You don't pay attention to the other ones, but He put them in there, and you know who He's speaking to? He's speaking to you. When you're reading about the different hearts, He's telling you about the different hearts. But when we read, we think that we've established ourselves and we immediately go to the heart that's the best one. Matthew 13:19, when anyone hears the words of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So when you're reading Scripture, or I'm preaching, or Larry's teaching, or, you know, we got Fridays and Wednesdays and Sunday morning and stuff, and when you're doing all that, when you hear the Word of God, do you immediately understand it? I mean, do you just think, oh, okay, wow, okay, I see it. Do you know that the devil, as you're trying to figure this out, he's trying to steal it from you? And you know what if you don't meditate, and if you don't take the time in your life to make this a part of your life, and meditated on it to understand it. Let the Holy Spirit go over it in your mind and try to show you different things to make this part of your belief system, to make this part of who you are. You know what happens? The devil steals it from you. Didn't think you had that kind of heart, did you? And you're sitting right here listening. You see, if the only Bible you get is what I teach you here, the devil's going to steal it from you. You're going to hear it, he's going to snatch it right away. Well, how do you know? How do you know he snatches it right away? Because you don't apply any of it up to your life. It's not changing your life. You just go back to the things that you were doing before. And why is that? That's because the devil has snatched it away from you. Because you haven't put any effort. You ever planted a seed? You ever tried to get something to grow? You don't just put it in the ground, sprinkle it with dirt, water, and walk away, and that's it. You have to keep coming back to it. You have to keep coming back to it. You have to look to see if you're trying to grow like a garden of some kind or whatever, or just grass in general. You got to look to see if there's tracks in there, if there's somebody coming, the animals are coming to eat it and stuff, or if they're trampling on it, if there's things, and then when you find that out, you put up stuff to try to protect that seed. That's what you do. And if you don't do that, guess what happens to the seed? It won't produce anything. That's what the devil wants. He snatches it right away. That's what he does. So it's fair to say that we all start out here, right? Because the Bible says, I mean, what we were saying is that when you hear the Word of God and does not understand it, well, that's all of us. We hear the Word of God. We're not really sure what He's talking about, so we have to think about it. We have to read. We have to let Scripture interpret Scripture. We have to find our way through the Bible. And God directs us on this path because He's walked it, right? And so we have to understand that this is where we all start out. The devil is able for a young Christian to snatch away the Word of God. You know why? How easy is it to take something from a baby? How easy is that? You take a little puppy that you give food to, right? You put it down and the puppy's just ears just a flopping, food going everywhere, and you snatch that food and that puppy's just wondering what happened, right? You take a grown dog, try to take his food away. Big difference, isn't it? Big difference. So we all start out here because we always don't understand the Word of God. We don't understand the implication. We don't understand how important it is to make the Bible a part of our life. And what I say by that is to spend time in it. You don't have to spend hours to spend time in it, but open it up. You'll be amazed at how much it takes to set down your phone, turn off the TV, stop eating, you know, and open the Word of God and just read a chapter. Right? Oh my gosh, I picked a 45, 70 verse chapter, right? Why couldn't I pick the 15 verse, right? I got to read all this. But you see, we have to spend time. We have to make the Word of God a part of our life. If we don't, the devil is going to snatch away what we're trying to learn. But we don't see us as having this heart, do we? Because we're here, we learn, we're reading. That's how the devil works. He's sneaky. He's very sneaky. So in order for something sown to grow, it must take root. So we are saying that we never come off of this path, that day after day, what we learn changes us and we never find ourselves here again. This is what I learned about the parable of the hearts. It's not a one-time thing. It's where you're at today. Sometimes you have a heart that is hard towards God. Why? You wouldn't think so. But you're mad. You're angry. You're upset. You don't even feel like praying. And so, if we look at our life, one of the easiest things to do and one of the quickest things that we do that proves that is we'll go to work, we'll go to parties, because we don't want to disappoint people. We'll make sure we check our streaks on Snapchat. We don't want to disappoint people. We make sure that we go through Facebook. We make sure that we watch our TV shows to stay caught up. But then when it comes to church on Sunday morning, that's what takes the hit. because you've had a really crappy day, a week. Your boss has been on your case. Your spouse has been on your case. Your dog don't want to even lay next to you, right? Nothing's going right. And so guess what takes the hit? You don't lay home from work on Monday morning because you're sad and you're upset and you're mad. But church will take the hit. I just can't go today. I don't feel like it. We're not always going to be motivated. You have to be disciplined. You're not always going to feel like coming to church. You're not always going to feel like opening the Bible. You're not always going to feel like being honest with yourself. And you're not always going to feel like you have the heart of worship. That's what he's showing you with the parable of the hearts. He's showing you day by day. And sometimes your heart will change during the day. I mean, anything's possible for us, right? Anything. Because everything that we learn, remember, this is how the devil snatches it away. We read something and we don't understand it. I've read plenty of stuff that I don't understand. We're in something right now that we're studying, and I'm really excited about it. I've been thinking about it all week, talking about the dowry. You know, in the Old Testament, when someone got married, there was a dowry given. And we've been talking about that with Christ. And so we're learning about that, and there's a lot of things I don't understand. A llot of questions him and I have, and Larry and we're writing them down, and we're trying to, when we get back together, trying to go over some of these things that we've thought of during the week. See, the devil is not wanting me to get deeper in this. So he's clouding my mind. He's working very hard to snatch those words away. And how does he do that? He makes it so I don't have time to be in the Word. That's how he does it. That's what he does. You stay in the Word, the devil is chained. But you get out of that Word and you let the life fall in on you. He's snatching it away. And he's snatching enough away that you can't understand what's going on. He can't do that if you stay in that Word, if you make that a part of your life. There's things that you don't understand. So he's going to be able to mess with that. But the deeper things of God you can understand, but it takes study. And you think, well, I don't really believe that because if God wanted me to know something, he'd know something. Well, look at the casting out of demons. What did he tell them? He said, this one only comes out with prayer. He said, you're not deep enough to cast. He said, you're not strong enough to cast out this demon. They had to learn. They had to mature. They had to have the Holy Spirit enabled to get them through that fight. So we're going to find ourselves here that we don't understand what we read, and the devil's going to snatch it away. Matthew 13, 20 through 21. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word of God and immediately receives it with joy. You know how many people you've seen in the church that come in and they're all excited about God, and then a year later, There was a guy that I remember in my past that he was so excited about God, he wanted to get baptized. He wanted to get baptized like Jesus did in the robe or in the whatever it was. And we told him that don't not get baptized because you're wearing the clothes of today. I said Jesus was just wearing the clothes of his day. Let's just get immersed. So we talked him into it, and he did it. But he was so excited about the Word of God, and he talks about this. And there's people that say, that come into the church because they have nothing, and they believe that this is where they find it, that God is going to pick them up out of the mud, and he's going to dust them off, and he's going to set them on the high places of the world. And so as things happen, any little thing that happens, they give credit to God, and they're just so excited that things are looking up, and then the minute they don't, they're gone. How many people we've seen like that? A marriage takes commitment. Service to God takes a commitment. Our friends take commitment. Because you know what? Our friends aren't always going to be our friends. There's going to be times when they do something that's going to make you mad, that's going to make you upset with them. They're your friends. You know what you do with friends? You forgive. You forgive family. You forgive friends. This is what you do. Anyway, what I'm talking about is we've seen these people. And so is this you? Are you just excited about God because He's doing something for you, right? You're just excited about God because He's doing something for you. And the minute that He doesn't, your mind changes. You don't worry about reading the book. You don't worry about doing this. Is it when you read this, did you say, oh, that's me right there? That's me right there. And the deceitfulness of Satan is that sometimes there is no joy that we can find in serving Christ. And you say, well, oh my gosh, why would you say something like that? You've never been sad to the point where you felt like giving up? You've never been so humiliated that you wanted to just die? You've never been so... The apostles felt this way. Because I thought, why would anybody be sad being a Christian? And the Bible said that the apostles despaired even of life. You ever done that? So that joy that you had, you have to deal with the times where there is no joy. And God didn't say that that wouldn't happen. What He wants you to do is to know by looking at this heart that there's going to be times when the joy will not be there. It will be service. You think a guy plowing the field wants to plow the field? No, he wants to provide for his family. So he goes through that sacrifice of plowing the field, you know, with the old mule and the hoe that they used to use and stuff. I mean, we got it pretty good today, but back then, they didn't. And they had to drop the seeds in and cover it in the water. I mean, we got irrigation systems and all now, but back then, no. I guess they used a bucket or something. I don't know what they did. But he was willing to go through that so that he could feed his family. And that's what God is showing us with that heart. Sometimes our heart will fail us. We'll come to a place where there isn't any joy, but we do it because we know that that day will not last. And you know how we know it's not going to last? Because He shows us the other hearts. That's how we know it's not going to last. But see, when we read it, we thought He was just trying to say, you got a good heart, you got a bad heart. Which heart are you? No. He was showing you all these hearts because you're going to have to deal with all these hearts. And if you're not prepared for that, you're going to fail. If you're not prepared to deal with the heart with no joy, if you're not prepared to deal with the heart that has the what you're trying to understand being taken away and you got to fight for it, you're not going to make it. See, this certainly isn't us now. Tribulation never makes us stumble. I'm sorry, I didn't finish. Verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but he endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the world, immediately he stumbles. Well, I mean, certainly this isn't us, because there's never anything that come into your life that made you stumble concerning God, is there? See how the heart that God is showing you that this, you thought this wasn't your heart. But God is showing you it is sometimes. And so you have to be prepared that something's going to come into your life and it's going to cause you to stumble. And when you stumble and you've done wrong and you see it, somebody else sees it, or everybody sees it, or nobody sees it, are you strong enough to move past that? We would think yes, but some of us, no. Because it says, the one we read before, is that when the joy leaves, they leave. So they're not prepared for the long haul. And if you're not prepared for the long haul, wow, you know, try for the next 50 years thinking what you're going to have for dinner every night. That's a long haul, right? We're going to have hamburger. I'm tired of hamburger. We're going to have chicken. I'm tired of chicken. We're going to have fish. Makes the house stink, right? We're going to have salads. Well, I need more than a salad. You want to put some chicken in it? Oh, that sounds pretty good, right? Try trying to figure out what you're going to eat for the next 50 years. Yeah, tribulation never makes us stumble. So God's not talking to us here. See, it's that word tribulation. We don't think it means wrong decisions that we have made that causes us to stumble. We think that word tribulation is only the world coming against us for being so righteous. You ever felt that way? That anything bad happens in your life, it's because you're such a great Christian. Well, I'm just a strong Christian. I guess the world just hates me. Nope. sometimes the tribulation, the problems that come into your life, you got problems, we talk about them all the time, right? Everybody's going through something. You got problems, guess what? They made you make choices that stumbled you and stumbled others. So sometimes that tribulation that comes upon us is because of decisions that we've made. And you know why we made them? Because we had a heart that was not listening to God. The stony places, the dry, arid places, it was not listening to God. It was not listening to what God was saying. Do we want to grow as a Christian? Do we want to feel that joy? Right? God's got to change who we are, how we think. Now, He's not going to change me from who I am. But He's going to change how I think. He's going to change how I process. He's going to change how I do what I do with the information. He's going to help me do it a better way. And He's showing us here with the heart that sometimes we can simply shut our heart down for God and we make bad decisions that we have to live with. Matthew 13:22. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Wow, this would never be us, right? Certainly money has no hold on us anymore. I mean, it may cause other Christians to stumble, but not you, right? The riches of this world, you're above that, boy. Don't have no hold on you. Oh, no. The things that we would do, not just for the money, but what the money accomplishes. The things that we would do to make things work out. Wow. I mean, this isn't me. When I'm reading this, I'm certainly not a person that would take money over God. He's warning you that you will sometimes. And He's warning you that when you see yourself doing that, do something about it. These parable of the hearts, He's trying to warn you. He's trying to warn you. Oh, and the cares of this world. I forgot to mention that. I just kind of focused on the money part, right? Because that's what we like to do. But how about the cares of this world? I almost missed that one. See, we've never gone against God for our personal agenda or made wrong choices to help someone out of their problems. We do it all the time. We think we know better than God. We think we're not listening to God. Right? That's the point here. The two hearts, these weren't listening to God. And when you listened to God, you thought it was going to produce something around you, and it didn't. So you turned to the world and its riches, and you were trying to make it happen. And that's what the parable of the virgin said, keep your lamp filled with oil because the bridegroom is coming, and there were five wise and five unwise. And they went to the world. See, they went to the riches. They tried to make it happen. I have a personal agenda. I want to have my stuff paid off so that I can retire early. Only want to buy one more new car and blah, 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 right? Want to get all this taken care of. I've got a personal agenda. I want to make it to quitting time. I'm there for a paycheck. I mean, I have personal agendas in my life, but the cares of this world, what happens when something goes against the path that you have set yourself on? Do you think the apostles, when they were fishing and trying to make a living for their families, did they ever think that they were going to be beheaded? Bet you not. Their personal agenda was to provide for their family. Their personal agenda was to be successful in the way that we see the world successful. You're no different than anybody else in that respect. Don't think that because you measure yourself up against this world that you've lost sight of God. I'm saying that we have to keep these things in perspective. And that's what He's telling us with the hearts. They change over time. And if you're not prepared for this to happen, the devil will get you. My last slide, Matthew 13:23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Now you're talking. Here we are. Oh, here we are. I thought maybe God had left no room for us. You see, when you're reading the parables, those other hearts, you understood why they were that way, but you didn't think you were that way because you thought, I'm studying, I'm learning, I'm trying to grow. This is me. You're the one that always understood. You're the one that doesn't let the world make you get in your mind and make you make bad decisions. Right? Money doesn't have a hold on you. The cares of this life don't have a hold on you. You always understand. Tribulation doesn't make you stumble. Right? If any of that stuff happens, then you had those hearts at one time. Did you make a progression and grow out of them? I would hope that we would make a progression and grow out of them, but we still have to deal with them. That's why He brought all of them and gave you the answer to them. And the answer to was the ones is that on the times that you are this person, this is your heart, that when you received that seed, it made a difference in your life. That sermon, that lesson, that word that you were reading, it made a difference in your life and you grew. God was able to work with that and He was to help you conquer those other hearts to deal with them when they popped up. The way God works is amazing. And you think, y'all just always like to say that. The devil is trying to bring you down and God is able to work through it and make you a more productive and stronger Christian because of the persecution that he brings on you. That is a loving and smart and strong God. We never looked at someone and wondered how they never saw it, right? How many times have we read Scripture and the Word was right there but we couldn't see it? But then once we saw it, we always understood it. And this is the danger that I was telling you about earlier. We know what the parable of the sower means because we read it. Jesus showed us, told us what it meant. But then there was still something to learn from it. And we found out if we'd have stuck with our first thought, we would have been deceived. And then when that heart of unfruitfulness, that heart of anger, that heart of whatever causes you to be unfruitful in the kingdom of God, listening to the Word of God, reading the Bible, praying, being in the mindset of God, when those happened, you didn't immediately think of this parable, did you? And God was trying to help you all the time, all the while, right? He was trying to help you. Jesus is warning His disciples about how the devil comes for them. Hears the Word and understands it. That's how He comes for you. First, you got to hear the Word. If you're not hearing the Word, He's got you. If you're hearing the Word and you're not understanding it because you're not doing nothing with it, He's got you. You have got to fight and struggle to hear the Word of God. And your heart may fight against you to do that. You know why your heart will have to fight against you? You're here this morning. Alone. Right? We have other people. And you're fighting. The devil didn't win this morning. Because your heart was one that sought after Him. Talking about God. And I'm here to tell you, that little effort that you made makes the devil tremble. Because he gave you many reasons today to stay at home. And you didn't. He's not mad at you because of that. He's scared to death. Because he knows you understand the true heart that serves God. And that true heart that serves God is one that occasionally makes bad decisions and doesn't want to serve God. How awesome is God that He worked through all of this. And He wrote it down so we could go back and remember, read it if we forget. You see, the sad reality is that when you're young and strong, you think you got it all under control, right? I'm not just talking about young. I'm talking about, you know, young at heart, young where you're still working, you haven't retired, you're getting around, you're doing things, all this youngness, right? People don't want to throw out the word old there. But the reality is the person that looks like this tree here on the right with the root system that you can't see, he's been through a lot. and the other one, which would be the stronger tree, right? If you were looking at it like this, right? Which would be the stronger tree? You would think that one's had it. I'll take this one every time. But when you see it the way God sees it, guess what? Nope, this tree hasn't had it. He's bore the weight of everything that's come down, and he's never given up. Give me a Christian that's been in the fight and has failed and is still in the fight any day. Give me someone who's willing to repent any day. Someone who has made mistakes, they can see them, they can say them, they can confess them and repent. Give me that person any day. They're a fighter. And you look at this tree right here, and it doesn't look like much of a fighter, but you try pulling that tree away out of the ground. It ain't going to happen. God chose 12, and they all fought for what they believed in. They all fought for the idea of the King of Israel. And we look at Judas, right? And he thought he understood. We thought he understood what God wanted. See? To hear the word and understand it. See, Judas thought he did. He thought he heard Jesus and he understood what he wanted. But when Judas's heart of unbelief, when Judas's heart of the world and money and all these things, his personal agenda about Jesus being the King of Israel and all these things went against, he gave up. He went to the world to try to make it happen. And you know what happened? The world wasn't happy with him. The world turned away and said, "No, I don't want nothing to do with you." But Jesus chose him and gave him a chance, and the world wanted nothing to do with him. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? God still gave him a chance. But when he went to the world, they said, "I don't want nothing to do with you. Give me that old tree any day with that root system right there." Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost, and I tell you, he struggled with probably preaching to these people, but he knew that when he came to accept and understand who Jesus was, it was a joy and a strength in it, and he wanted to share that. He wasn't trying to rebuke the people. He was trying to share the joy and the strength that Jesus brought. Understanding God in some way, when you read a scripture and you see it, you get excited, and he was trying to share that, and they killed him for it. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?